Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyata Parakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sankrajatam Sadhana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabhazutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Rana Krishna Paran Sadhana Lalita Shivashikam Vitamsta Oma Gyana Timurandasya Yananjana Shilakaya Chakshunan Militam Yena Tarsmai Shri Gurave Nama Gaurava Vishnam Supurakam Guraganara Sisha Sambhushitam Chintya Chintya Samasta Vedanipanam Shri Rupa Patanagam Govinda Abhidam Uchvam Bharatanum Bhaktyan Vitam Sundaram Vande Vishwa Gurun Shah Divyad Bhagavat Premna Vibhijapradam Vanja Gopata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavaja Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Nama Sri Advaitacharya Avir Bab Mahatsav Ki Jai Sri Advaita Saptami Ki Jai. Special day today, the divine appearance of Sri Advaitacharya. And the Advaitacharya, he is so much appreciated as that divine personality who called and brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this world. That Advaitacharya, the Lord of Shantipur. And he was worshipping there. Haridas Thakur had one cave near there. He was living in that cave, and he would associate with Advaitacharya. And he, Haridas Thakur, could see the special intent of Sri Advaitacharya to call for the descent of the Lord. Advaitacharya's loudly calling on the Lord to descend and worshiping with Gangajal and Tulsi, Manjari calling upon the Lord to descend with a mood of supplication, that the conditioned souls of this age are so fallen, my Lord, and you must come personally to give your special mercy upon them. Please descend. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj notes that the Vaishnavas at the time were very distressed. The words of Guru Maharaj in the Golden Volcano, he says, people were spending money lavishly on marriages of cats. That's the wording he uses. So we're thinking marriages of cats, it's hard to understand, but then we can understand that in many Hindu traditions, they give much importance to things like marriage ceremonies and birth ceremonies. So people were just on a mundane level, and they're spending money lavishly and having big marriage ceremonies. But what is that? It's like no better than the marriage of cats, you know, spending money lavishly on the marriage of cats. Just the cats are good at procreation, so then anyway, don't know the exact meaning of the wording, but still we can understand the intent. Advaitacharya is wanting the Lord to come personally. We hear that time arrived when the Lord would descend, but Mahaprabhu heard the loud supplications of Advaitacharya and he appeared. Then the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how that child was born in Nabadeep to Mother Sachi, and Sita Takarani came from some far distance. She came on palanquin. And she's there, and she brought all these auspicious articles for the child who was just coming out of the maternity home. That we also saw with the Guru Maharaj. People didn't just give birth to the child in the house. So a special room outside was built, like a chittai room made out of bamboo strips to make some special place for where the child is born. And then after so many days, the mother would come into the house with a ceremony. So Sita Takarani was there for the coming in of Mahaprabhu into the house, and she brought many different articles with her. She brought so many articles, like for, she gave Mahaprabhu special tiger claws and encased in gold, you know, for like a locket or something like that, and many and articles for worshiping the cows and some silk things for the mother and everything, and many different things and many gifts for Mahaprabhu's birth. And she went there, and it says how she saw that Mahaprabhu, except for the difference in color, he was non-different than Lord Hari, who had appeared when he appeared now in a golden color. Now, so Sita Takarani, it's like her appearance is very mystical there when Mahaprabhu appears and she comes to see the newborn baby, and they give some special benedictions. They call the, it says there's two what is it, like witches that travel as part of Shiva's entourage, and to protect Mahaprabhu from witches is given the name Nimai. And in Mayapur we see there's actually a neem tree where Mahaprabhu was appeared by that neem tree. Anyway, it's given the name Nimai because it is said a neem tree will ward off bad or evil influences. So then the child was called Nimai. We heard also Advaitacharya. He is, you know, teaching school. I mean, well, not exactly teaching school. He's like giving special attention to the Vaishnavas, and they're having meetings with the Dvaitacharya, and Dvaitacharya is the teacher and everything. And he is training all that. Then we heard also that those same students, they were not exactly sure what's going on when Mahaprabhu was a little older, because Mahaprabhu is appearing as like a little proud, and he is like dressing very nicely, and sometimes he would take one position, like argue, you know, with persons like Gadadhar Pandit and other people who were in school. Mahaprabhu would take one position and present that position, and then he'd turn around and take the opposite position and defeat that position. So he is very good with gyan and with learning, and you know, they were sometimes a little afraid of meeting up with Mahaprabhu, you know, because they knew there'd be some argument or discussion, and, you know, like, but they weren't, you know. So then this was, anyway, Advaitacharya had the devotees coming to a meeting and everything, but when Vishwarup would have come there and he participated. One time, I think Mother Sachi sent Mahaprabhu to bring Vishwarup or something, and everyone, Advaitacharya, was very amazed by the beauty of Mahaprabhu when he came there. You know, of course, Vishwarup is very beautiful also, but Mahaprabhu came, and they were all, everyone stunned. And Advaitacharya is, I mentioned in the morning how, you know, Vishwarup was going to the meetings with the Vaishnavas, and then later Vishwarup accepted sannyas. Well, Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra were thinking that Vishwarup should get married, but Vishwarup didn't like that idea. Then he took sannyas and just left home, and they were all heartbroken by him. Mahaprabhu promised he wouldn't leave home like that. Anyway, Vishwarup left, and Mother Sachi blamed Advaitacharya a little bit. She thought because Advaitacharya is teaching renunciation and Vaishnava philosophy to my son, is now left to take sannyas, and it's something to do with Advaitacharya's teachings. So she was a little upset. And then when later Mahaprabhu sat on the singhasana at Srivas Thakur, Srivas Angam, he sat on the simhasana, and he revealed himself to all the devotees, like he told Haridas Thakur, when you were being punished by the Muslims for having been a traitor to the Muslims and chanting the holy name, and they were whipping you all in these marketplaces, I took the lashes on my back. And Mahaprabhu showed him, and he showed called all the devotees and gave them some nourishment and revealed himself. But then someone said, what about Mother Sachi? And Mahaprabhu said, no, she should not come forward. She's an aparadhi. She's an offender. And then they were all incredulous. How, Mother Sachi, how can she? Mother Sachi, how could she be an offender? And Mahaprabhu said, no, because she has harbored in her mind some misgivings about Advaitacharya. She thought that her son Vishwarup left home because of Advaitacharya, and this is an aparad, and she has been offensive to Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya was there, and he heard that, and he fainted. Mother Sachi is an offender to me. How is this possible? And he fainted. And then Mahaprabhu told his mother, now that he's fainted, dude, have this opportunity. Go take the foot dust from his feet to nullify your offense. So then Mother Sachi went to Advaitacharya when he fainted, and she took his foot dust, and then Mahaprabhu was very satisfied with her. You know, but this Mahaprabhu's, you know, naughty Leela, we could say, or something like that. He's like doing like this. And yeah, I don't know, but very. And then Advaitacharya, he is, you know, we could say, in that Vatsalya group of senior devotees who came before Mahaprabhu, and he's there. But Mahaprabhu, because he's senior, Mahaprabhu is always giving so much respect to Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya didn't like that. So then Advaitacharya was thinking, how can I change this? So he began preaching Yoga Vashishta philosophy with some gyan there, and he's saying how with bhakti the Lord is very far away, but with gyan the Lord is very close. So then Mahaprabhu was very angry. I came to this world to give everyone bhakti, to give everyone devotion, and you, Advaitacharya, what is this? So then he swam across the Ganga and went with Nityananda to punish Advaitacharya. And then he gets there and he tells Advaitacharya, what you are doing, old man, you are preaching against me. And he began slapping Advaitacharya, and Sita Takarani's there, and she's very upset. Don't hit that old man. Don't hurt him. Then Advaitacharya became very happy, and he began dancing. Where's all that respect and formality you had for with me? Now I have conquered you, my lord. Now I am victorious. So, like that. But Advaitacharya is very respectable. Srila Guru Maharaj comments that, you know, Advaitacharya, if he would go to the house of where there's some deities there, if those deities were false or not really being worshipped, when Advaitacharya would touch his hand to the deity would splinter or break apart. So, we can't imagine this, but Advaitacharya is like that. You know, later Advaitacharya had one servant. That servant of Advaitacharya's had written a note that said who was it written to?
To the king.
Yeah, to the king or something, saying that. Anyway, it was written to, said that Advaitacharya is the Supreme Lord. He's Vishnu himself. But now he's incurred a debt of 300 rupees or something like that. So could you please cancel Kamalakanta Vishwas? And that's it. And could you please cancel that debt? And then that note fell into Mahaprabhu's hands, and he became very angry. He says, this note, it is very offensive to Advaitacharya, because it is true what he says, that Advaitacharya is non-different from the Lord. He's that Supreme Lord, Vishnu himself. But then he says that Advaitacharya has a debt. How can the Supreme Lord be poor? The Supreme Lord is the husband of Lakshmi. How can he be poor? And he's made him to be a poor beggar. And other so-called schools, they talk about Daridra Narayan, that Narayan, the poor man, is Daridra Narayan. Poor Narayan, or as Kalindi would say, poor Narayan. But Mahaprabhu was very upset, and he says, "This is against the Siddhanta. How can Narayan be poor? And why should you make Advaitacharya to be a beggar asking for some favor, that some grant of some amount of money that can be given to him?" And he says, "This Kamalakanta, he's a bulia. He's like a barbarian. Don't let him into my association anymore." And Kamalakanta was very upset by that. But Advaitacharya he went to Mahaprabhu personally to complain. He says, "You have rejected Kamalakanta from your association, and this favor was never even granted to me. Then why are you favoring him more than me, you know? And me, you're always showing respect, and to him you can be heavy like this. Why was this favor never granted to me?" And then Mahaprabhu laughed, and he said, and then he called Kamalakanta back into his association, and Advaita says, "And now you're calling him back twice, you have cheated me." So Advaitacharya is like this, and Advaitacharya would worship Mahaprabhu with arti paraphernalia and tulsi leaves and everything, and then Mahaprabhu would take that same paraphernalia and he'd worship Acharya. Well, Advaitacharya, "Yosi Shoshi Namostute. Whoever you are, whatever you are, I'm worshiping you." Mahaprabhu would worship Advaitacharya like that. And like this, the relationship would go on. And then Advaitacharya later wrote some mystic poetry. I think not in Sanskrit, but in kind of like another, like some other, I don't know the exact language, but it's kind of like some kind of Malecha Basha or something like that, some kind of special. Do you remember the wording Guru Maharaj uses?
No.
But anyway, he wrote this mystical poem, and it says that now there is no demand for rice in the marketplace, and the supply of rice, everyone has enough rice, there's no demand for rice in the marketplace. So tell that Lord, and this is coming from Advaitacharya, so it is being relayed from one madman to another, that he is a madman, and this is a madman telling him this, and he's telling him there's, the idea of the poem was that you are come as a Yuga avatar to give everyone the chanting of the holy name and love of Godhead, and everyone already has that. So now that purpose has been fulfilled, and Swarup Damodar, he knew what that purpose of the poem was, but still he asked, "Well, what does Advaitacharya mean by this?" And then Mahaprabhu said, "Well, I don't know." He says, "There's a class of worshippers who invite the Lord for some time and worship the Lord, and then when their purpose is fulfilled, they would say to the Lord, 'Now our purpose is fulfilled. You can go home, or you can go on.'" And Mahaprabhu mentions the word visarjan, and that term actually refers to Kali worshippers and Durga worshippers, because they make a deity out of a colored, dried clay or mud, and they paint the deity and worship the deity of Durga or Kali for some time, and then after they're done with the worship, after the puja's gone on for some days, then they have what they call visarjan, where the deity is submerged in the Ganga and dissolved. So that's the visarjan. Mahaprabhu mentions that word. And here's our pujari. You also have on the altar Visarjana Putra, right? Where, you know, some flowers and everything is offered to the Lord in one pot, but they have another pot for washing the pujari's hands or washing articles, and that's the Visarjan. So that same kind of word, but they actually dissolved the deity and they called it Visarjan. So Mahaprabhu said, I don't know, there's a class of worshippers who invite the deity for some time and say, now our purpose is finished, you can go home. And they dismiss the deity, and he said they have Visarjan. What is it, the word he used, Visarjaniya or Visarjan? Anyway, he is like this. Then they have Visarjan, and then Mahaprabhu says, I don't know if Advaita is that kind of worshipper, but maybe he is. Maybe he has that kind of purpose in mind. And then Swarup Damodar was a little depressed when he heard that, because he knows that what Advaitacharya said, you came for the purpose of the Yuga Avatar, but now that purpose has been fulfilled. And you could think, well, now Mahaprabhu will leave, but actually Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to his own internal purposes. Before, he was chanting and dancing so much in the temple and with the devotees, and then it was more, it said, every Mahaprabhu from that time on, it was like his sense of insanity increased greatly, because in Mahaprabhu's horoscope there's actually some description there about, you know, like madness, and the Lord didn't show that madness with. It said, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, especially at night, then all the Lord's performances became like mad, insane performances with his great feelings of Vipralamba and just Mahaprabhu, you know, like singing and quoting poetry in 1 minute, you know, in great separation from the Lord in agony and another in ecstasy and going through all these ecstatic emotions. And it says that really Mahaprabhu's internal purposes, his purpose of the Yuga Avatar had been fulfilled, and Advaitacharya mentioned that. But then after that, Mahaprabhu turns to the internal reasons for his descent. First, to know the glories of Srimati Radharani's love, to understand that sweetness in himself that only she can experience, and to know that happiness of hers when she experiences that sweetness of Krishna. This is what Radharani's, you know, so he took the Bhava Kanti, the mood and the feeling, the mood and the luster of Srimati Radharani. So Mahaprabhu then has his internal purposes, you know, and that Chaitanya Charitamrita says at one time Radha and Krishna were one, but then for the purpose of tasting their own pastimes they separated, and now these two have again become one as Mahaprabhu. So then there's some feeling like that Mahaprabhu is tasting these internal purposes, and after Advaitacharya's composed this, you know, poetry that says, now you're done with the Yuga Avatar, and then Mahaprabhu is interpreting it. Well, he's saying, yeah, I can go home. But really, after that, for even 12 years, Mahaprabhu is internally absorbed in that mood of Srimati Radharani and these internal reasons for it. Presence. But then at that time Mahaprabhu was deeply absorbed in this divine Leela, and it's, you know, but Advaitacharya brought on this. And Advaitacharya, we hear also about his pastimes with Nityananda Prabhu. They're always, like, especially at big occasions, often, you know, apparently fighting, but it's a verbal kind of like going back and forth, and, you know, that you know, like Mahaprabhu, after he takes sannyas, then he's wandering, supposedly going to Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu has all the cowherd boys trick Mahaprabhu and brings him to the Ganga, and then Advaitacharya appears in the boat and takes Mahaprabhu to his house. And then in Advaitacharya's house, and all the devotees from Navadvip come there, and apparently, you know, then Advaitacharya tells Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu's just taken sannyas, so he's real reluctant. No, I just want to, eat simply. I don't want to have any, you know. Then Advaitacharya said, no, no. In my house, everything is very, very simple. He says, you know, in my house, you'll just get a little lufra, little mixed vegetables and like that, some dal and rice. You know, nothing very elaborate. But when Mahaprabhu comes there, there's a huge, huge feast with so many preparations and so many things are being offered to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is very kind of like, you know, thinking. At first he's thinking, you know, like Advaitacharya is offering this to the deity. But, you know, then he understands that Advaitacharya has made him take all these preparations. And Advaitacharya says, you know, Mahaprabhu said, I cannot eat like this, and this is not possible. And then Advaitacharya says, no, 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 you will, you know, you will just take, you just take half, a little bit of each thing. You take half and then leave it. You don't have to take everything. Yeah. But then Mahaprabhu would take, and he'd leave half, and then Advaitacharya would again fill up the container, and like that. He's making Mahaprabhu eat, and but Nityananda's there, but Nityananda presents a contrary feeling. He's saying, because Nityananda was with Mahaprabhu when they were fasting for 3 days. And Nityananda, there's so much prasadam, so much. You know, Mahaprabhu's there taking so much. And Nityananda's complaining. Nityananda's saying, oh, I've been fasting for 3 days, and now I come to the house of Advaitacharya, and so little is being offered that I feel that today is another fast day. You know, so, and then Advaitacharya says, you're causing so much trouble for the grihasthas. You come to their house, and then you complain so much. And he says, you can eat so many mounds of rice, and nobody can feed you this quantity of rice. Nobody can feed you. And, you know, I'm a poor grihastha. How am I supposed to feed someone like you? But there's so much prasadam, you know. And then Nityananda says, whatever I may be, I'm a guest in your house, so you must feed me according to what I want. You know, you have to feed me enough. And then Advaitacharya says, nobody can do that. You just be satisfied with what I give you, and that's it. And then he says, and you, who are you, Nityananda Prabhu? You're just like an avidute. Nobody knows where you're coming from. What is your caste? What is your position in life? You know, it's okay for sannyasi like Mahaprabhu to eat with you, but I'm a grihastha. There are more rules for eating in the association of someone like you, Nityananda, and I don't know how my mind will be affected by sitting and eating with you. And then Nityananda Prabhu says, what is this kind of talk? We're talking about Mahaprasadam. How can you know, like, Mahaprasadam, you know, that, you know, what is the rules for taking Mahaprasadam? How can you talk like that? And he says, you are just a caste Brahmin, and you're an impersonalist. You know, what do you know? You're like that. And he says, I don't also know how I'll be affected by being, you know, with this kind of a impersonalist caste Brahmin like Advaitacharya. And they're arguing back and forth. And then finally Nityananda says, take your prasadam. I haven't even eaten the least of it. Well, what do I need? And then he takes the prasadam and he throws it. He throws it on the ground, and it hits Advaitacharya. When the prasadam sticks to Advaitacharya, then he starts dancing. You know, so they have all this argument and joking going on back and forth between Advaitacharya and Nityananda. And this goes on in many occasions. And you know, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we hear, you know, like, there's talk, what is he says? Oh, Advaitacharya, they say you're Mahavishnu, but if you're Mahavishnu, then show us something. They're in the water and showing us something of your lila. So then Advaitacharya assumes, like, Seshanaga, that position, and I think Mahaprabhu is, like, is it Mahaprabhu that's sitting on him, and Advaitacharya floats around the water. He floats around the water, and they're showing the divine lila of the Lord on Sesha. Dvaitacharya is showing that floating tent, his ability to float, you know, on the water with, and you know, Dvaitacharya is showing these, like, you know, his divine lila with Mahaprabhu, and when he would go to Jagannathpur, he would go with the devotees from Bengal when they would travel through Orissa to Jagannathpur, and when he would get there, then always first Mahaprabhu would send Govinda with two garlands for Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, and they'd be given those two garlands, and then when they would get closer, then Mahaprabhu would personally go there and garland all the devotees who had come. So Advaitacharya was always seen as very, you know, he and Nityananda would be the trunk of Mahaprabhu's divine tree. And of course, you know, Advaitacharya, there are many branches of that tree. It's said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he had six sons, and three were very loyal, but three of them became what they call, I think, asara, that they were like useless. They were, you know, they didn't accept the divine position of Mahaprabhu, and they worshipped Advaitacharya, but didn't accept the divine position of a Mahaprabhu. So they were sick. They were like impersonalists or something, and they were kind of, it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like branches or leaves from a tree that are separated. They just dried up. So anyway, and they mention the names of the loyal sons of Dvaitacharya and those who aren't. But of the loyal sons, the main son is Achyutananda. Achyutananda's, you know, Dvaitacharya's principal son and very famous devotee. And that Achyutananda, at one time when Achyutananda was 5 years old, people were saying that Mahaprabhu is his sannyas guru is Keshavarti. He says he's Keshavarti is a sannyas guru, is a guru of Mahaprabhu. And Achyutananda became very upset. He was 5 years old, and he's saying, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. He is descended for the benefit of all living entities. And you're saying that, you're saying Keshavarti is Mahaprabhu's guru. Mahaprabhu doesn't need a guru. He's like the Lord himself. What is this? If you preach this kind of thing, it will ruin everybody. Achyutananda was very fiery, and he is like 5 years old, so he's getting very emotional about the whole thing. How can you say that somebody can be Mahaprabhu's guru? It's true, but Achyutananda is very upset. This kind of preaching will ruin everything, you know. So then, actually, it said that Dvaitacharya was very pleased that his 5 year old son understood properly. Although it is Keshavarti, you know, gave sannyas to Mahaprabhu. But it is also true that when Mahaprabhu was going to take sannyas, he told Keshavarti, I had a dream, and in the dream I heard that you gave me this mantra. And he told Keshavarti, he says, this is the mantra that you're going to give me? And Keshavarti says, yes, that's the mantra I'm going to give you. So it is said that actually Mahaprabhu gave the mantra to Keshavarti. And then, so it said that whatever Keshavarti was or is, that still is eternal associate, but Mahaprabhu gave him the mantra and initiated it himself, and then he gave. But Chutananda was very upset with that preaching. That somebody is Mahaprabhu's guru. He said, Mahaprabhu's the Lord. Nobody's his guru. He's the guru of everyone, you know. But so, you know, simplicity of a young boy, but Advaitacharya was very pleased that his son Achyutananda had that vision of Mahaprabhu's divinity. So he is very happy. What? Yeah. So, you know, like this, and Advaitacharya always very there associated. What I'm trying to think if there are any other divine Leela of Mahaprabhu with Advaitacharya of it. Of course, Advaitacharya is related closely with Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is closely, he's living, when we go to through Shantipur, then there's another town nearby where Haridas Thakur was sometimes staying, but they're very close, and Haridas Thakur would spend time with Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya offered much respect to Haridas Thakur, and he gave him the Shraddha Patra that should have been offered to the most highest position Brahmin, but instead he gave it to Haridas Thakur, who's born in a Muslim family, Malecha family. And of course, the Shantipur is very Brahmin caste conscious, and people were very reacted strongly. And then Haridas Thakur said, "Why are you doing this? Why are you disturbing all these people of your community? What will happen of your reputation?" And then Advaitacharya said, "Today, by honoring you, I am honoring millions and millions of Brahmins. More than that, this is more than that." So, he was closely associated with Haridas Thakur, always Advaitacharya. So, you know, anyone who is thinking that Advaitacharya is like part of this Shantipur Smarta Brahmin community is obviously not a fact, because he is so closely associated with Haridas Thakur, and certainly Haridas Thakur would not be accepted by the smarta elements of that community. But Advaitacharya gave him all honor. And it is said that elsewhere there's some mention in Advaitacharya's glories, it mentions that he, when Mahaprabhu was glorifying his devotees between Vallabha Bhatta, he tells that Advaitacharya, he is so great that he has converted the Malechas, the Muslims, to Krishna consciousness. And it's not referring there to Haridas Thakur, he's referring to, I believe, the Muslim king and other persons who were Advaitacharya preached to them and converted members of them. So Advaitacharya is very prominent. And of course, as we say, he and Nityananda are the trunk of Mahaprabhu's divine tree. And of course, Panchatattva, you know, Panchatattva bhakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhakta avataram bhakta kyam namami bhakta shaktikam. And Panchatattva bhakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhakta rupa Nityananda Prabhu bhakta avatar Advaitacharya. I believe it's like that. And anyway, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Gaur Arti is like, you know, glorified the presence of the Panchatattva, and there is Advaitacharya is holding the umbrella over Mahaprabhu. What? Like this. And it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, they all have this mood that they're the Supreme Lord, but their Prabhupada used to, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami used to refer to them as the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. That was his words. Because they all had the mood of being Mahaprabhu's servitors. That was their mood. There is the Supreme Lord, but his mood is the mood of Nityananda and Advaita and all the subsequent incarnations. They're all described as servitors of Mahaprabhu, servitors of God. But that's not surprising, because even Mahaprabhu himself has that mood of servitor Godship, because he's always, you know, expressing the mood of a devotee towards Mahaprabhu. In his Sikshastikam, he says, Ainanda Tanujam Kinkaram Batitamam Vishamam Bhavambudo. You say, somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death, and I cannot on my own get out of this ocean of birth and death. So if you will lift me out of this ocean and fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet, let me find some shelter. That's the expression of a devotee. And Mahaprabhu, Srila Sridharmar says, all Mahaprabhu's expressions are that of a devotee. So he himself expresses that. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishame Bhavambudo Tavapar Kripa Pankajasta Stita Dulis Andrisham Vichintaya. That expressing like that. Always the whole sakshastikam, that mood, is expressed, and therefore Shiva Sridharmars in the Prapanat Shivanamrita list all Mahaprabhu's words as those the words of the devotee, not the words of the Supreme Lord himself. And Advaitacharya, certainly everything he expresses is a mood of devotion to Mahaprabhu. He is maybe older than Mahaprabhu, but always worshipping. And I love that exchange when he's offering arti to Mahaprabhu and then Mahaprabhu grabbing the arti tray and worshipping Advaitacharya. Yosi Soshi Namostu Day, whoever you are and whatever you are, I'm worshipping you. They had this very loving relationship. I feel we also got sense of that relationship with Govinda Maharaj. She's like very, very affectionate and joking sometimes with us. And, you know, so that's really can appreciate, you know, something of a divine leela through the expression of Shiva Govinda Maharaj. He expresses that mood, you know. So I'm going to sing Hari Haraya. Does anyone want to say anything or ask any questions? Have a comment?
Well, of course I came late, so I already said. But like they say that Advaitacharya, he's somehow related as an incarnation of Shiva. He's also considered an incarnation of Vishnu, and he's also considered somehow an incarnation of Ananta Sage, I think.
Yeah, well, anyone who's, you know, Ananta Seshi and all the other further expansions are coming from, of course, Mahavishnu, you know, Mahavishnu, and, you know, all the expansions are coming from, you know, the Lord's expansions. But as far as the relationship between Sada Shiva and Vishnu, that Srila Sridharmar explains that, you know, Mahavishnu is glancing over the material nature. Maya Yakshena Prakriti Suya Che Sacharacharam. He has this relationship with the material nature because he sometimes said Brahma's a creator, but Brahma's just like an engineer. He's like making the material universe, but the living entities are injected into that universe, and they are injected into the universe by the glance of Vishnu. He's glancing. Because there's, in the Gita it's explaining, there's the apara prakriti and the para prakriti. The apara prakriti is the material elements. Ether, sky, fire, water and earth, and then there's mind, intelligence, and false egos. Those are the mahabhuta, the material elements. But beyond those material elements, Krishna says there's the, that's the apara prakriti, but there's the para prakriti, which is the living entities who are sustaining the whole universe. And those living entities are not created by Brahma. They are injected into the universe by Vishnu's glance. And then Srila Sridharmar says, well, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita saying that Mahavishnu, that Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu, but in the Chaitanya Bhagavat it is saying that Advaitacharya is Sada Shiva. We'll accept a higher vision usually when we'll say we accept Chaitanya Charitamrita as the supreme vision. But Srila Sridharmar says that the two positions of Advaitacharya, of Mahavishnu and Sada Shiva, they're very closely related because Mahavishnu is glancing over the material nature, and that glance that becomes personified as Sada Shiva. So the glance of Vishnu is actually Sadashiva, and then Sadashiva, because Vishnu doesn't touch Maya, he doesn't touch the material creation, but his glance comes. But how's his glance going to become injected into the material nature if there's no touch between Vishnu and the material nature? So, but that glance then becomes personified as Shiva, and Shiva then has this relationship with Maya. And so the functional relation, the glancing is, you could say, Mahavishnu, and then the relate how that become how Maya becomes impregnated with the living entities, then that glance takes the form of Shambhu, and that's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. So Srila Sridhar Maharshi, he explained it in that way, that actually Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, apparently different persons, but he says they're actually very, very close, because they're very close in their function, how they're working in relationship with the material nature. But then, of course, Mahavishnu is like much more, and Srila Sridhar Maharshi says, so ultimately the divine vision will accept of Krishnadas Kaviraj, but he says they're not separate from each other. They're not separate. He says, like, for instance, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, it says that Mahaprabhu is Chirodakshai Vishnu. But like our acharyas, like Srila Sridhar Maharaj explained, he said, when the Swayam Bhagavan, the Lord himself, comes, then naturally all the incarnations are contained within the Lord. And he says, somebody can see him as Chirodakshai Vishnu, somebody can see him as Vamanadev. And he says, he says, none of these are actually wrong, because a devotee can see the Lord in the way he wants, and all these incarnations are contained within the Lord. But then Krishnadas Kaviraj says, but still it does not really add to his glories to call him Chirodakshai Vishnu. He's saying, but he doesn't like attack Vrindavan Das Thakur, but he just explains that, you know, they're related, but at the same time his real glory is more than this. And you would say, you know, like if the president comes, you know, somebody could say, introduce the president and say, now who is in charge of all the prisons in the country? Our own president. You know, so you could say, yes, in one sense he has the power of giving pardon, and he's in charge of all the prisons. But that's really not a very proper glorification of the president, saying he's in charge of all the prisons of the country. That's not really a proper glorification, you know. Of course, it's not so bad as this, but, you know, there's a term that they call damnation by faint praise. It's not that kind of damnation would be by faint praise, a little worse than that. It would be like, you know, if, you know, the president comes, here's the president of the country, he's also kind of a nice guy. It's like damnation by faint praise. You know, he's kind of all right. It's not very much of a glorification, you know? So anyway, but Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, and he also, according to Krishna Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's Sadashiva, and then sometimes said he's, you know, Seshnaga Sesha, but also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it's also said that Nityananda Sesha. It says Nityananda is, you know, the bed of the Lord, and he's a Brahman thread and all these things. But also you could say Advaita Acharya, because, you know, all these things are coming from Nityananda, and, you know, the first expansion of the Lord is Balaram or Nityananda, and then comes Chaturvyuha, and the second expansion of Chaturvyuha, and then comes from that the Purusha avatars and Mahavishnu. So in one sense you could say it's described that Mahavishnu and and Chiro Dakshai Vishnu, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, they're listed as expansions of Nityananda Prabhu. But then it says that Mahavishnu is also Advaitacharya. So then you can see that Advaitacharya, you could say, oh, this thing, Seshanaga is Nityananda. But he's also Advaitacharya. There's no problem, you know. We're not trying to put a little label on everybody, you know, a little written out expiration date. You always see that in India. It says expiration date 6/13, and you just bought the thing in 2014, had an expiration date 6 months before. Often you will find that in India when you buy something in a store that it expired 6 months before they sold it to you. But there's no expiration date on Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya. They have no expiration date. Okay. Any other questions? Is that okay for your question?
Oh, very good.
Okay.
One thing that's always confusing, does Narayan come from the chapter of Yuha?
Huh?
Does Narayan also come from the chapter of Yuha?
Well, I don't know. You know, the chapter of Yuha, this Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Niruddha, Vasudeva, they're four-handed deity forms. So, you know, are they going to... Is that... Wouldn't we call that Narayan? I don't know. You know, But no, Narayan is... He's coming... You could say coming from that... You know, that Mahashankarshan coming. Because what is Narayan? Lord Brahma says Narayan means who's sleeping in the water of Nara, right? I don't know which of the Purusha avatars is that. It's Mahavishnu, I guess. Or he's sleeping. He fills up. But Garbha Dakshai fills up half the universe with his perspiration. And then, yeah, so I guess that's Narayan in one sense. Like Garbha Dakshai Vishnu. And Lord Brahma's born from the lotus that's coming from his navel. So in one sense, we could say that aspect of the Purusha avatars, that's really Narayan. But you know, so then does Narayan ultimately come from the Chaturvyuha? I guess you could say yes, because Mahashankarshan is expanding himself and then further expanding. And that Mahashankarshan is also said to be Nityananda Prabhu. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita just give me a little different slap, because you know, you're hearing so much going on and on and on about the expansions of Krishna and the Purusha avatars and all that. And then you get towards the end and it says, so all these are expansions of Nityananda Prabhu. You know, you think you're hearing about Krishna's first expansion and then expansions of the Chaturvyuha coming from Mahashankarshan and all that. And you think you're hearing about all Krishna and his subsequent incarnations, and says, so that Supreme Lord who has expanded himself in this way, that is Nityananda Prabhu. And then you're going, well. So, you know, you could say, yes, Mahashankarshan, but it's, you know, you could say, but is Narayan really coming? You could say, is Narayan coming from the, you know, Mahashankarshan's in the Chaturvyuha, yes. But you could also say, is Narayan really coming from, is he really coming from Nityananda Prabhu? Is he really coming from Advaitacharya? Because yes, he is. They have our, you know, our own perspective. And yesterday when we were at the program, the people were saying, well, isn't Krishna an incarnation of Vishnu?
No.
No. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Lord. Vishnu is expanding from them. And then they're going, yes, they have their own vision. Anyway. So now let's sing Hari Harai and then we have Arti, right?
Yeah.
Arti's late now, huh?
Arti is late
now, yes. Ah, just see.
We
celebrate. Jai Saparikara Shishi Guru Guranga Gandharvika Giri Dari Ju Ki Jai. Sri Advaita Charya Ki Jai. Sri Advaita Saptami Ki Jai. Sri Advaita Charya Virbhav Mahatsav Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari. Jai Sri Advaita Saptami Ki Jai. Sri Advaita Charya Virbhav Mahatsav Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari. Now we'll have RT because we don't want to make it any later.
Bhakti Bhavachar Maharaj Ki Jai.